Let's go to Romans 4:18, start at 17. It's talking about Abraham and God making him a father of many nations. I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform, and therefore it was accounted to him as righteousness. Another translation, which I really like, says, for Abraham, human reason for hope being gone, hoped in faith that he should become the father of many nations as he had been promised, so numberless shall your descendants be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered the utter impotence of his own body, which was as good as dead, because he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's dead womb. No unbelief, no distrust made him waver, doubtingly question concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong and was empowered by faith as he gave praise and glory to God. Faith in that definition there in the Strong's means to have confidence or trust, persuasion, credence, conviction of religious truth, of the truthfulness of God, especially reliance upon Christ for salvation, consistency in such profession, gospel truth itself, and assurance. And when I began to put those words in there, it said, no unbelief or distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong and he was empowered because he had confidence and trust in God. He was persuaded by the conviction of the truth, the truthfulness of God, and consistency in such profession. When you look up the word profession there, it means an act of confessing, an act of claiming, an act of declaration. So Abraham, he knew by professing and declaring and confessing that would build himself up. It made him grow strong in faith, and he was empowered as he gave praise and glory to God. So it doesn't care what the doctors say. You don't care what the doctors say and what your body is telling you. The Bible says no weapon formed against you is going to prosper. And by constantly, when it said consistency in such profession, when it's a constant confession of the word and claiming it and declaring it, regardless of the circumstances, that's what builds your faith and trust in God as you keep leaning towards him. Because to believe, in the definition of to believe, it says to accept as real or true, to accredit with veracity. And veracity means the habitual adherence to the truth, conforming to the truth or fact, accurate or precise. A nature of a habit done constantly or repeatedly, to stick fast together or as grasping or being glued, to closely following, to carry out without deviation. You can't deviate from what the word says.
Thank you for looking all that up. Okay. Unbelief. Go back to the one she did in Romans 4. This is a scripture that God gave me that I had to work out and work out and work out and work out to see my son healed. And this is the one the Lord gave me and gave me. And with Margaret, the teaching on unbelief, she has to break through. And her unbelief came in. Unbelief is backed by fear. The spirit behind unbelief is fear. Belief, the Holy Spirit is behind belief, and he gives you faith. So where you don't, whatever area, like Margaret has a lot of faith in a lot of areas. But in the area for her healing, only one particular part of her healing, she has unbelief. And unbelief is basically saying to God, I don't believe you because of fear, I believe the doctors, or I believe the circumstances. Okay? Wherever you have unbelief, she explained what unbelief was. Now, I just want to get in there in the Holy Spirit here and get this going a little bit deeper for you. Okay, wherever, first of all, like the man who wanted his son healed, you have to recognize that you have unbelief, okay? One of the main reasons I think you hear people claiming that they're going to be healed from something and then they die is because they would not acknowledge their unbelief. And you can get, if you want a really powerful tape on this, what conference was that? On our Inner Healing Leads to Physical Healing conference. It's really awesome. You ought to get it if you've never heard it. Deborah was at the conference. She came in full of unbelief, thinking it was faith. The Holy Spirit pretty much told me, she's going to die of the cancer that she's here with if you don't help her see that she doesn't have faith. So instead of building her faith, God used me on the tape, and most people would criticize it, but that's neither here nor there. You just do what God shows you. I had to show her that she didn't have faith, because what she had was fear. The spirit behind what she had was fear, yet she was speaking the words to convince herself that she had faith. And I knew that she didn't have faith and that she was going to die because of the fear. So the Lord had me really go after her, so to speak, to have her admit her need for faith. And when she admitted her need for faith, and it's all on the tape, the Lord moved with compassion, and he took the people who were at the conference's faith, and all the faith lifted to heaven, and the compassion of the Lord came, and it was supernatural. The room, it was as if the room shook. The power of God, it was really a Book of Acts experience. The power of God hit the place, people were shaken. I can't explain it unless you were there. And I knew that God healed her. Well, we encouraged her to go back to her doctor because she had breast cancer, and she had a lot of cancer. She had put it off for a long time because of the fear of really doing anything about it, not taking treatments and all. Anyway, when she went back, they told her the cancer was still there. Well, I asked them to retest her. I asked her nurse to retest her because her nurse happened to be at that meeting, which was amazing. We didn't know there was a connection. It was pretty funny. But her nurse didn't believe in any of this. She just came because her husband was a spirit-filled believer, but she wasn't. And so she said, of course we're not going to retest her. And we can get the tape to hear her whole testimonies on there. But the bottom line was I could see that Deborah did not have the faith to hang on to her healing. You know, unless she just trusted God. And God's so cool, he does it however he wants. So Deborah was trying to kind of get me to say, don't go through with the surgery. Well, so a lot of you here to learn to minister, don't tell other people what to do. Don't ever tell other people what to do. Ministry lesson number one, do not tell other people what to do. Because you're going to stand before God for your decision, for you taking his place and telling other people what to do. We've all done it if you've at least stepped out in ministry at all in our immaturity, and God knows that, and I've repented, and I've asked God to heal anybody I've hurt and fix things I've messed up. Whatever, at least I jumped out of the boat even if I sank. He pulled me up, swished the water off of me, and said, let's try this again. All right? It's a very real responsibility to act as if you've heard God for somebody else. Never hear God for somebody else. Ooh. And when I say that, I'm saying never hear God and have them listen to you instead of them get it from God. Like, I really had a pretty strong knowing that she was healed of cancer. But I wouldn't have bet my child's life on it. So if I wouldn't bet my child's life on it, I didn't know that I knew 100% without question. That becomes presumption for me to make her think that I know without question when it's her life at stake, not mine. Does everybody get that? Boy, too bad the church didn't get a hold of this before. We've hurt so many people and told people not to take their medications and told people not to go to the doctors and told people this and that. And then families are crushed. People don't believe in God anymore. People want to totally, you know, delete the entire faith movement. It's not because there's anything wrong with the faith movement. It's because there's something immature about the people, which is us, who are ministering out of hidden knowledge instead of revelation from the Holy Spirit. So anyway, so I told Deborah, I could tell she didn't have the faith not to have the surgery. I wasn't going to tell her not to have the surgery. If it was my miracle and God had given me the healing, then I had had that choice to make. And personally, I would have paid for it and made him rerun the test. I still probably didn't know that I knew enough to just walk away and never have him check. But I don't know because it wasn't mine, so I don't know. But let me say this. So I told Deborah at the Lena Holy Spirit, I said, well, then have the surgery. I said, when they get in there, they're going to find out there's no cancer. But at least you'll know that there's no cancer. Think about it. If you think there's cancer and you're afraid not to have the surgery and she listens to me instead of by what she herself believes, she's going to walk around with Satan tormenting her about her having cancer so much that she'll probably take the cancer back and it'll kill her with it. Or she may never get the cancer back, but walking around thinking she still has it. It's better to go through some surgery and find out God healed you. And that's exactly what she did. And she went through the surgery and they opened her up and found out there was absolutely no cancer. Closed her up and were afraid of a lawsuit. And so God started revival in a doctor's office, including the nurse coming and repenting to me for not having her rechecked and with tears that she should have listened and had her rechecked and saved everybody a lot of stuff. But God worked it great. And Deborah didn't sue because she was thrilled not to have the cancer. And the last thing she was going to do was, you know, try to get rich off of somebody's honest mistake of trying to help her. Praise God. If you had greed, you'd been trying to get everything and saying God made you rich somehow. And then when you die of cancer 10 years later because you used the devil's stuff instead of getting God's glory to get rich, you could be in trouble. We all mess up stuff because our hearts are so wrong. My gosh, God gives us a miracle. And next thing, instead of being a witness, we sock it to people with lawsuits. But Deborah didn't. And God's been honoring her ever since. All right? So you're here to learn to minister too. Please learn that. Don't take the place of the Holy Spirit. We are not here to be the voice of God for other people. We are here to minister to other people and allow the Holy Spirit to use us in ways that other people can catch and believe themselves. Because faith is something the believer has to have. Faith is something the believer has to have. God can move with compassion on the heathen, but believers are required to have faith. And I'm not going to get into all that tonight. We had teaching on faith over there that's awesome. It's called faith. And then the inner healing leads to physical healing. It's awesome. And there's an entire teaching on every single thing that is in the Bible, at least that we could put in a 3-day conference on healing. So if you want to hear it all, get the tapes, because we definitely don't have time tonight. But what I want to show you, God gave me this scripture. This is the one he gave me when my son was still sick. And it's start with verse 20. She read it, Romans 4, verse 20. It says, go up to 19. And being about 100 years old, not weakening in faith. Now this has been a long time he's been waiting for this. He did not weaken in faith. He did not consider his body to have died already, and yet the death of Sarah's womb. He did not stagger by unbelief at the promise of God, but he was empowered by faith. Empowered, I like the way this is worded. Empowered by faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he has promised, what God has promised, he's able to do. That's the key.